I'd like to call the order of this meeting of Monday, June 19th at 6:16 PM. At this time, I need to call the order, but I mean, a roll call. I'm sorry.
Ms. Kennedy.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Ms. Brown, here. Ms. Kirby.
Here.
Ms. Rush.
Here.
Ms. Shaw. Ms. Wild.
Here. Okay. At this time, I need a motion to adjourn to executive session. I have a motion by Mr. Shawhouse. I need a second.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dennehy. All those in favor say aye.
Weather alert.
Okay. I need a motion. I have the motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We are now in executive session. And, okay. Good evening. We have been in executive session, and I need a motion to come out of that. Thank you. Second. Okay. I have a motion by Mrs. Dennehy and a second by Mr. Russ. All those in favor, please say aye. Okay. We are out of executive session at this time, which is 7:03. Let the record show that Mr. Emery had to leave the meeting at 6:59. So with that, we'll go ahead and have an introduction of our visitors. So Dr. Stevenson, will you start?
Glenn Stevens.
Mara Mangus.
Paul Watson.
Sarah Croce.
Jason Peel.
Richard Bowman.
Sean Snyder.
Nancy Hornbell. Daryl Richardson.
George Mason.
Michael Furch.
Cindy McKenzie.
Nancy Carter.
Kevin Paul.
Bruce Fairmont.
Harold Walters.
Ron Evans.
Scott Whalen.
Jerry Stoff. Thank you. If for some reason, Mr. Walters, you can't hear us in the back there, will you raise your hand? So that I will make sure there was concern that you couldn't hear us.
Okay,
so,
very good.
Please, if you'll let us know, I appreciate that. Okay. With that, we'll please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The next item is to have approval of the minutes from our special meeting on June the 5th. It is attachment number one. I need to know if there are any questions, additions, corrections, and if not, then I need a motion from the board to accept. We have a motion from Mr. Shawhouse to accept the minutes and seconded by Mr. Dennehy. All those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed or any abstaining? So moved. And if you look on the agenda, we missed number 7 somehow, and that is any changes or additions to the agenda.
Yes, we look at 15A, Administrative Services Authority Ground Operations, Dr. Glenn Stevens, and we'd like to move that up to actually. Right before we do recognition and accomplishments, so right after the change from actually right before it, we do first thing on the agenda.
All right.
All right.
If there's nothing else, then we will move to that.
I don't have anything on the agenda, but I did want to report on the paving in Morris. I met with Gary Paving this morning. They're planning on starting on July 17th. Towards the end of summer school, and the paving will actually take place the first week or so of August, so the summer school will be complete. That way they can congruently just proceed from one parking lot to the next without having to stop, and they should be done long before the teachers get back. And we did, by the way, I didn't know this big, last month we actually approved, I don't have it in front of me, it was like the bid and item one. Harvey Kenton called and actually funded item 2, I think it was. So we are, which was the back parking lot. So we are indeed going to go ahead and move forward and do all 3 parking lots now. So thank you to Harvey Kenton and obviously his huge amount of support in this project. It was funded by him and former representative. Passed away.
Peterman.
It was half and half between those two to begin with. And of course, Mr. Friedman passed and Mr. Posey took over for him. And Harvey did the other half, but Harvey did this portion on his own. So it will be done. The other thing is the chiller. It's to be delivered July 7th. We met with Joseph T. Richardson. They have 58 days, I think it is, to get it done, which takes us right up to the start of school. They did say, however, that was only about a three-week project, and they're going to start right away, and they hope to have it done, quite frankly, before 1st of August. So hopefully we'll be able to get that fired back up and the building cooled and put down, and so everything sounds like it's moving forward nicely. Demo work, we start next Monday. We've got about 4 days worth of demo work. So next Monday, our guys are meeting out there. We're going to remove everything. So they're ready on the 7th. Actually, it's being delivered on the 7th. They've got a crane there. They're officially not going to start work until that following Monday, the 10th. So, but we're going to set it on the pad and everything on the 7th.
Have any problems with humidity and pressure?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we want to get it moving as quick as possible. I asked them about possibly running some dehumidifiers, putting in a big dehumidifier. They seem to think they would get it done quick enough, and this will make a big enough difference that we'll be able to catch them. Now, the good thing is the Sussex wing doesn't fall under this. It's got the old DX system. So that system will remain air conditioned along with the library and the office. So that section will that's where Kenny and his crew will be working while we're trying to get the air conditioning back up. They got one wing just about done. So they're ahead of the game. He knew the air conditioning was going to be shut off. So the weeks, 2 weeks or so while we're doing that, they're going to be cleaning that section. And when it comes back up, we're going to wipe everything and do all the things we need to do to catch up. So, great. Sounds like we're in pretty good shape. So.
Any other questions from Dr. Stevenson?
That's all I have. I would like to recognize Mr. Russ, his birthday tomorrow, along with mine.
Okay. Happy birthday.
He's a little older than I am.
And you're there.
Happy birthday to both of you.
Thank you.
When you get done, we'll have a slice of cake for you. You want to stop over? You
I hope that's extended to the whole group.
Most of them.
Thank you. Okay, we will then move on to recognition and accomplishments.
Okay, state championship team, they had a difficult time right now with student athletes working from other practices, some other events they're in. So then the weather here also, we decided they were okay, better not to come tonight. So I'm just going to announce names here from state championship softball team. Number 1, Nia Bowe. Number 5, Regine Bowe. Number 9, Darby Brennan. Number 15, Macy Meyer. Number 21, Morgan Abbott. Number 27, Emily Sickle. Number 88, Kaya Reynolds. Number 2, Julia Reed. Number 6, Genesis Chamberlain. Number 10, Megan Fry. Number 19, Courtney Cole. Number 23, Malaysia Reynolds. And number 43, Morgan Petty. Head coach, Sean Brennan, who did a fabulous job of really talking on the Senate floor when they recognized the student athletes 2 Thursdays ago. Assistants were Kevin Barkley, Rick Andrews, Rob Maston, Brittany O'Neill, and Brian Rogers. So, Director of Softball Operations, one of the local high school students, Travell Palmer, and STP, also did a great job. Team was 14-4 in regular season with 10 straight victories to close out the season. So, one time they were 4-4. Ended up with 14 straight games once they won their 4th tournament games as well. Beat Smyrna 14-8 first round after the tournament in a very close contest, 6-5, that went extra innings. The second round in Indian River, they beat 18-5 in the semifinals, and Delmar 17-9. Probably set a couple hitting records along the way, from my understanding. One cool record that they did set, and this was a statewide thing for a softball state championship or any tournament game, they set an attendance record with our fans from the Milford School District and Milford community. And we had adults and things from the community. We had lots of kids there. If you ever see a news journal, have a chance to see the picture with all the streamers, the people cheering and how packed it was. It was awesome. And Delmar, same thing. Delmar brought a lot of people too. It was lined around the whole field, a couple people deep. And they set the attendance record for that game down there in Roxanne is where they played. So great group of kids and obviously well-deserved state championship, and we're very proud of them. I do want to say just two quick notes here. There's a pretty good article by Darby Brennan on Local Live talks about also, and I'll be the first team all-stater and state championship player now, but also she's committed to play field hockey in Division I level at Liberty University. And the other thing is Regine Bowe, who arguably could have been recognized as maybe the most prestigious athletic female award in the state last week at the New Term Awards. She was recognized as the most dynamic female athlete in the state. That's for all-around athleticism in many different sports. Plus, being a good academically oriented student and having high academics and good character. And she was recognized that with all the tremendous athletes, student athletes across the state, she was the one that was awarded that last week in front of a very huge crowd there in the Bob Parker. Okay, another outstanding student, next two students here, and we've already had Kylie here once, but I want to kind of follow up on a couple things because I know we talked about her and she was on WBOC and all over the internet, and she's been all over the place. I'm missing some things. She does a national game. They're out there throwing first pitch at the national game on the field. And last month, she was recognized at the ceremony for one being the Delaware Outstanding AAA School Safety Patrol. So obviously, school safety patrol goes back in 1920. She was also, they had a first recipient for a gentleman who had played a large role in some of the safety patrol, William J. Miller, who was just reached 100 years old. So they gave a $1,000 scholarship, and she got one of these big checks up there, so I'll present for that. And she was awarded with the first William J. Miller Safety Award. Now here's the kicker, because this award here, we've never had anybody in Delaware ever recognize the award. 428 coming this year. I thought it could be off by a couple too. So six students in the whole nation were recognized as National School Safety Patrol Life-Saving Award. She's the first student from the state of Delaware, and all the years they've had the safety patrol, to be honored with that Life-Saving Award.
Wow.
That's a pretty neat accomplishment. And obviously we talked about the feat that she accomplished and helping her classmates in distress, and a wonderful accomplishment, great student here. And if you have anything you want to say there, Dr. Kilgore, I didn't say, or?
I think you hit it. Kylie's not shy about it. she's enjoying her attention, but it's well-deserved.
Great representation here in Wilford School District, but obviously for her and her family too, it's awesome. And then obviously to help our students too. Jennifer Rust also here recently, had over here a couple times over the year, and a phenomenal student there at the high school, graduating going to somewhere in Chicago,
it's in Chicago, right?
Okay, she was awarded fifth place at 200 in the award ceremony in Newark for a children's book she wrote, an illustrated called Worldwide Girl. This was an entry into the B9 Rift, Diverse Mind, Writing Challenge, focusing on the message of power. So, a great student there. And probably had wonderful English teachers there at the high school installed, I imagine, too.
Many good teachers.
And like I said, fabulous student here. We've had to go for school district here. And obviously, she has a bright future ahead of her as she leaves Wilbur High School, goes to Columbia in Chicago. So, last thing I do want to mention here, and we'll have a chance for a little bit of retirement. So, retirees here, just want to mention that we had up here. And appreciate Mr. Fry, Mr. Shellhouse also helping us award them here at the district end of the year function. But Sergeant Melendez, Lisa Melendez, Central Academy, 1 year, Wilbur School District, 11 overall. Diane Retzlaw, Morris Road Shuttle Center, 15 years, Wilbur School District, 17 overall. Leslie Johnson, Wilbur Central Academy, 19 years, Wilbur School District, 25 overall. We'll see a theme here, and I know Ms. Carnell worked very well with these teachers for many years, but we lost a great group of teachers overall and members across here, employees throughout our district, but we did lose a pretty good month here at Wilbur Central Academy at one time. Susan Wyman, another outstanding teacher, Morris Road Child Center, 22 years, Wilbur School District, 25 overall. Brenda Heberlein, high school, 24 years, Wilbur School District, 26. When you talk about the people we're just talking about, what fabulous educators we have here, and fortunate our students have had a chance to have them as teachers. Ms. Carey, helped their local school district speech for 25 years, local school district, and know Ms. Magnus thinks the world of her, and when she helped with their speech past over the years. Crystal Clayville, Charlie Clayville, talking about helping keep facilities running, and they're all hours, nights, all kinds of events at Central Academy, 25 years, local school district, 25 overall. Ms. Wilkins Barbier, Jan Wilkins Barbier, local Central Academy, 25 years, local school district, 28 overall. Again, Murray and Ms. Johnson were very much a great team over the years, sixth grade English there, ELA there at MCA. Tim Mitchell, another outstanding teacher there, Ross Elementary, and how dedicated she was to our students for 30 years in local school district and 30 overall. And then Mark Hatfield, had 32 years teaching math and wonderful relationships again with our students and in our community of 37 overall, you know, as far as in education. So, great group of retirees. We're going to miss them all, but I think they've also left us a great legacy. I think one that we have to uphold the excellence they've had over the years as professionals and also the integrity they had and how they communicated and worked well with our students and our colleagues. So, I appreciate all their efforts. Okay. One last thing before we do that, I want to take time here to recognize two other people here who have obviously been a lot to our school district. Mr. Russ, I'm going to call you up here, please. But for you, though, Mr. Russ, his school board term is ending here with tonight's meeting. Mr. Fry will probably let me know he goes through June. Mr. Russ has been here 5 years school board, but over 30 years in the 30 years with our district. So 35 years to our district, Mr. Russ has provided service, and we very much appreciate all you've done.
Thank you.
Appreciate, you know, it's been a very short time as far as board wise, but I do remember everything here as far as years back too. We've always been professional, always appreciate your support, and always appreciate your care and commitment here to Milford School District. So
thank you very much,
Mr. Russ. Here. So I am going to ask Ms. Wiley, why don't you come up here, please? And should we get the whole board here with
I would think so.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yep. So can we have the whole board here with Mr. Ross? That'd be great, please.
If I got to get up, everybody's got to get up.
And Ms. Stoll, you can come up here, too?
No.
Okay.
What about Edna?
Edna, come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
We've got to get a picture with it.
Oh.
All right. No, you're supposed to be the center of it.
And then yeah. You get in the center. Get over here. Here.
Right in the middle.
That's okay.
In the center there, that'd be good.
You get up there with him.
Yep.
That's fine.
Okay. Might as well stay up here one more. We got one more.
Yeah. Switch places.
Thank you. Again, Mr. Russ. So, Mr. Russ and Mr. Fry, so Barry Fry as well, combined 75 years of service and commitment to Milford School District. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Fry, obviously, I think 37 and a half years, Barry, something like that, almost 38 years at Milford High School, and then obviously another 5 years of board. And again, you talk about commitment to our students and our program and also our community. And actually, a lot of times you'll see different events and Mr. Fry's there and different things there, and probably gave one of the best speeches I ever saw at a staff closeout. So we very much appreciate that last week too. And I know our staff across the district did as well. But Barry, congratulations and thank you for all your great service over the years. Thank you.
You want to hold it this way? You choked me there, Jeff.
1, 2, 3.
Can we get one more with Gigi? Why don't you just stand right next to Barry? Both of you with the plaques, and we'll just stand and flank you both.
We ain't got a hug or anything to it.
The way it's going to be even out this.
Come on.
I'll trip over this.
Right side up there.
All right. 1, 2, 3. One more.
Thank you.
Again,
Barry Fry. Thank
you.
you see what I've got from Harry.
It's got to be more powerful.
Yes, it is.
One good thing is, nice meeting won't call you this Monday football. That's a good thing. You can have the time to see next Monday football game.
Okay, with that, we will move on to your superintendent reports.
Okay, just have a couple here. We'll go around here. Lulu Ross there, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Okay, in our newsletter, we had the Redness Day fundraiser that our students did, and they were able to raise over $550 purchasing red nose to wear for Red Nose Day. We also followed that up very quickly with some cancer chain purchases and donated over $260 to the cancer chain. So I feel it's pretty admirable of our students. We are in a pretty high poverty school, and they were bringing their dollars and quarters and dimes and nickels to make these purchases. So quite a lot at the end of the year. And then I would also like to just take a minute and have Sarah Haig, our PTP president. I just want to talk to the board a little bit about how hard she works for our school, because she does an awful lot, and almost single-handedly. We have PTP meetings about every month, and she comes out. There's not a ton of parent support, maybe five or six people, including myself and Tina Alexander, and another teacher, and maybe one or two parents. She runs two separate book fairs throughout the year to raise money for our school. She does three major fundraisers throughout the year, one in the fall, our walk-a-thon, and then something around Christmas time and something in the spring. She participates in the carnival. It's kind of a joint effort with our family involvement committee. And then does throughout the year a lot of teacher appreciation activities. She does box tops a couple times a year. And then above all, she does it almost all by herself. She does the counting. There's minimal help from other people and just raises an awful lot of money. She provided our classrooms each with an extra $25 to supplement each one of the classrooms this year. Each grade level was provided $1,000 to spend on field trips, the money raised through the fundraising. And all of our students had a yearbook purchase for them, which was about a $10 to $12 cost to the students. So they each got a free yearbook through the fundraising event. And she also substitutes for the teachers and custodians in our school building and in our district. So she is a pretty prized commodity right now at Ross Elementary, and I think just deserving of the recognition because she does an awful lot for our building. She has two children in our district, but certainly does go above and beyond for our students and for our staff.
Thank you, Ms. McKenzie. And real quick, anything else, Dr. Gilbert? Have anything with Banner you want to share?
I was just going to share that before the students left, we did our annual Safe Summer Kickoff. So in conjunction with Teresa Wadsworth, she brought in, we had the chopper come in, alcohol and tobacco was there. The students got to learn about fingerprinting, so they got to experience that as well. And the chief was also there on the motorcycle. It was a day when most of the officers were taking a test, so chief actually came out for us. That was actually pretty special for the kids. But it's just a nice way that we kind of review some summer safe tips for kids before we send them off.
Thank you. Ms. Allman, anything more?
The students and staff at Morris enjoyed their end of the year celebration at Funland this year, which thanks to the efforts of Carol and Lingo and the entire kindergarten team, they were able to fundraise that entire trip for students with the in-house. So there was no cost to the students at all. And that's something that's been a tradition at Morris, and they were very committed to seeing that continue without any expense to the students. So that was a wonderful time, and it was a great way to end the school year for our families and our teachers.
Awesome. Thank you. Ms. Carter, Ms. Quinn.
Yes, I want to share that we were awarded the AAA Safety Grant, and that's to further our safety program at Miss Pillion. The students take a large role in it. One of the things is for them to have a display in each month They're going to do a different safety display. The first month is going to be back to school, bus safety. The second marking period, fire safety. Third marking period, bicycle and pedestrian safety, because the students are out there at the crosswalk. And we have a lot of students who forget to stop and wait that they can go across from our custodians. And then the fourth marking period is going to be the summer safety of swimming and heat and first aid. So it's a great opportunity for our school. We're really proud that we're going to further the program.
Thank you. Thank you for your work with the program, too. Thank you, Ms. Fargo. Anything from the CA?
Yeah, we ended our year with our Aloha Luau dance, which was very well attended. We had almost 600 students there in their Hawaiian outfits. We also had great concert turnouts at the end of the year. Had a nice eighth grade award ceremony where we were able to honor the eighth graders not only for academic accomplishments but other accomplishments through the year. And we have now just begun summer school today with about 100 kids. So that's awesome.
Thank you. Mr. Snyder, Hope High School.
Just a couple of things. We have Brenda Barron and Cindy Lynn were accepted in the 2017 Delaware College Scholars Program in Cohort 4. These kids will go to St. Andrews. They'll stay there for 3 weeks, go to that 3 summers in a row, and learn a lot about what it means to be successful in college. And I believe they can keep the program, and Dr. Peel could probably correct me if I'm wrong on this. Did they receive the University of Delaware? I thought that was included in it.
I'm not sure about that.
All right, well, I'm hoping for that. There we go. But I thought there was something announced about that recently. We have a Chris Langford, who is a Milford High School band member, was recently accepted to the Delaware Governor's School for Excellence in Music for Percussion. It's a one-week summer residential program that brings together all the most academically and artistically talented Delaware High School students in their sophomore year. We also have Jennifer Rust, who we already spoke about. And we have teacher recognition. Mrs. Stahl and Mr. Helmick in April, which didn't make it on the last one, so I'm going to say it now, got to go through the National Guard to they flew like a Black Hawk helicopter and did some simulated like combat training and did all kinds of fun leadership stuff that day. Anything to share else about that? I mean, you were there.
It was just a good day. It was the purpose was trying to educate educators about what the National Guard does and why it should be an option for some of our students, and just some of the opportunities that they have through that that I wasn't aware of. But it was a good day. We got to ride all the way to Wilmington and back in a Black Hawk. On the way back, they opened the doors and went really fast. And did trick. It was really awesome.
Mrs. Stahl, 2 times in here with Mr. DiCostanzo and Ms. Walton and Ms. Neat, all went to Legislative Hall on May 9th for Teacher Appreciation Day, and they sat on the floor of the House and the Senate and were recognized by both for their work done with wonderful students in the Milford School District. We already covered softball. Mrs. Evans just got back from being an AP reader, which means she went to Salt Lake City and graded AP government tests. Now, this is actually a really prestigious honor. There aren't very many in Delaware that do this. You had to have been an AP teacher for 4 or 5 years. You have to apply. There's a really rigorous process. And then when they get there, it's this giant warehouse of like people that teach that subject. So it's actually really good for our teachers to go because they get to meet a bunch of people that do the exact same work that they do and share ideas. She had nothing but good feedback about that. I want to thank Mrs. Kakamas, who kind of, not single-handedly, but almost single-handedly kind of made the PBS event at the end of the year for the high school happen. She is absolutely tremendous. We love her. She's fantastic. We're so glad she's there. She did a great job. I think the kids had a great job. We had excellent attendance last day of school because of that.
Let's see. What was the other thing that we had here?
Oh, and just we started summer school today, too, and we have about 100 students. And even better, we have about 20 students signed up through a Polytechs program to provide math and English this year, which is completely free to the school district, and they'll receive summer school on our campus through that program, and it costs us no money at all, which is totally in the budget. Yes.
I have one more thing. Sarah Hag, I had to add on to Cindy's. She also helps at my school tremendously. She oversaw our entire big fundraiser for our whole school, volunteers constantly, and I taught her fifth grade.
And Mr. Snyder, are you also the athletics here?
Sure. Have that with me as well. All right, just a few things to go over. Obviously, all sports are completed. We have academic fall conference, which we're just really proud of this group. So many smart kids playing sports. We have boys lacrosse. We have Ryan Johnson, Michael Judson, Cohen Vaughnville, and Shane Gaglione. Baseball, we had Chad Reichold, Carson Rios, Bryce Greenlee, Ethan Hurd, and James Kujarsik. Golf, we have Josh Strassel and Kyle Strassel. Boys tennis, Samuel Roush, Ryan McAsee, Jordan Trivett, and Riley Wolfenden. Girls tennis, Brianna Redlick, Megan Stevenson, and Jessica Gabriel Perez. Softball, Morgan Petty, Darby Brennan, Morgan Abbott, Genesis Chamberlain, and Mia Bowe. And those are academic all-conference. Oh, there's a whole other page. Never mind, there's more. So track's like the whole team. Christy Maley, Brooke Van Well, Annabelle Arias Rosario, Dion Warner, Ben Sabota, Ethan Lang, Trevon Aiken, Brian Saxon, Dalton Norberg, Nadia Delva, Amaya Matthews, Leah Barnett, Emily Holstein, Victoria Little, Deja Rodriguez Santiago, who was also a WGMD scholar athlete, was recognized by that program this year too. Galicia Rodriguez Rosado, Caleb Hallman, and Leon Jackson. Girls soccer, Daphne Leedy, Deja Rodriguez again, who's a two sport at the same time athlete. Margaret Solly, Megan Wolf, Melina Hudson, Emily Holstein, and Callie Bennett. And these are all of our academic all conference. Now for regular all conference, a whole bunch of those too. We had a really good spring. First team, girls soccer, Daphne Leedy. Second team, Melina Hudson. Second team, Megan Wolf. Second team, Haley Morgan. Honorable mention, Silvara Santiago. Track, first team in the 3200, Deja Rodriguez Santiago. Softball, first team here, I think she's first team honorable mentions. Courtney Coles, catcher.
She's first team all conference, I think.
Gotcha, it was all state. You're right. First team all conference, catcher. Darby, first team all conference, second base. Regine Bowe, first team outfield. Megan Fry, second team shortstop. Morgan Abbott, honorable mention. Yeah, and just by the way, every game Hunt up. Just great kid. Lacrosse. Connor Christie, first team attack. John Gaglione, first team attack. Dallas Rhodes, second team on attack. Cohen Vaughnville, first team midfield. Alex Herkes, second team midfield. Don Scott, second team midfield. Michael Judson, first team defense. Ryan Jones, second team defense. John Gaglione, second team faceoff specialist. And Shane Gaglione, honorable mention. And Blake Faulkner was recognized as Conference Coach of the Year. In baseball, Chad Reichold was first team pitcher. William Kimmel, first team catcher. Bryce Greenlee, first team outfield. Ethan Hurd, first team DH. Abraham Mao, first team utility. Michael Robertson, second team pitcher. Caden Stanley, second team second base. And Jimmy Kay, honorable mention. Finally, we have both the Strassel brothers here. Kyle Strassel, first team, also first place finisher in the Hell Open Conference Tournament. And Josh Strassel, second team. And then finally, our All-State. Oh, just a great spring for Milford Sports Club. Regine Bowe, first team outfield. Darby Brennan, first team second base. And then Courtney Cole was honorable mention catcher. These are All-State recipients. For baseball, William Kimmel was honorable mention catcher. Ethan Hurd, honorable mention DH. Bryce Greenlee, second team outfield. Abraham Mao, second team utility. And in golf, first team placed fourth overall in the state golf tournament as well. We haven't had one for years. He won the conference tournament. He won on the one-hole playoff after waiting 3 hours to play that last hole. He's as cool as the other side of the pillow. He's a good kid.
When I was graduated from the first grade at Lowell Law School, not your school, but the school over in North Carolina, like I said, Lowell Law was my teacher. She was a very strict teacher, and she heard the night all the years service that my parents had. She has been teaching 50 years and I And when I put my report card up, she had made a notation on my number. Ensure that Marvin breathes every day this summer. And I noticed you have that in here. Encourage him or her to breathe. So the importance of breathing back to the 1940s so is still exists today. It is a key to learning, the key to education is breathing. And I'm sure you're all sitting out here saying, I bet you Marvin read every day.
And I'm sure you did.
Next to hear what the superintendent reports, July 10th, 40, will be Milford Central Academy cafeteria. Okay, you know, that is the community we anticipate. So at one time, make a recommendation regarding the tax rate here for fiscal year 18 and when people receiving their taxes next year when come back to school. That's why we'll also have to have a discussion with the board and notify the board regarding that recommendation. So it will be the Milford Central Academy cafeteria that evening on July 10th. And like as we do other other meetings, really our whole public session when we come out at 7 o'clock that night. So we'll have an effective session earlier. We'll talk about the tech on for really 7 o'clock when we come out. And that's going to be the reorganization meeting that night. And I do want to recognize Ron Evan and Judy Purcell. Thank you for being here tonight and keeping abreast of what's going on here for these meetings. And not only tonight, but the past 4 meetings as well. And we welcome you board members here as we head into July. And the July 10th is the reorganization meeting, followed really by a lot of tax discussion that night about what our overall school tax rate recommendation would be, and a vote in that regard. That's it.
At this time, we have public comment, but you said no one has signed up. So is there anyone in the audience that did not get a chance to? Okay. If not, then we'll go to Mrs. Croson and Dr. Dickerson. Talk to us about our budget and
that's great. Look, I'll talk through here just real briefly. We really don't have an update at this point in time. We're still waiting for finalized budget approved by the state legislature. We hope we have that by July 1. July 10th, as we said before, we may have some of the recommendations, which is part of that, not recommendations, but part of that. Budget bill may have some type of influence on what our projections have been. At this point, our projections have not changed from any of our last 4 weeks. So we try to talk to that from what we got. We just did have three public or community tax discussions for meetings, and over 90 people of you all who attended, and lots of the people like Mrs. Mason there who are very respectful. We appreciate that. And have to really make sure as we talk through this, have to say, let's be proud of here, Ms. Croce, and how she presented. And we had some tough questions through a couple of our different meetings and discussions. And I think we were in agreement. We'd like to go out, like to inform the public, but we're also in agreement that we're going to do so. We need to be treated respectfully. And like I said, Mrs. Mason is a great example of that. However, we go out and we're not treated in that regard, and we have to reconsider how we go out and what we present and those type of things. But lots of good people out there, so we're very thankful for that. Very thankful to Mr. Kennedy out there one evening helping support Mr. Spider another evening on Saturday morning. We got to go to events for schools, so appreciate that. Some of you in the facility. We have to speak and thank also to the team here at one time or another at some of these presentations. Dr. Wamsley, Ms. Mangus, and Dr. Amory and Dr. Fields appreciate their support and being there during those events as well. Like I said, lots of good discussion, lots of good questions. Same code, we just ask for those things to be respectful when we're out in the community. When that happens, we will find we'll be out there, we'll be sharing, and we feel like we had a chance to do that hopefully over those 3 meetings. And like I said, that kind of leads us up to our next step here. We need to finalize information for the state. We will come with a recommendation on July 10th. So when we come to July 10th, there'll be a recommendation. No longer will be projections, there'll be a recommendation that evening. And we'll have to discuss through that in the public session. And at some point in time, that evening, we have to have a vote. Will we accept the recommendation? Or we have to come back with some other recommendations through that evening. But just please keep in mind, July 13th, we have to have tax warrants sent. That's that Thursday night. So July 10th is Monday. July 13th is that Thursday. We have to have the tax signed tax warrants to our counties by the 13th. So we'll have to have a signed warrant, hopefully, sometime that evening of July 10th. So please keep an eye on the DFAC numbers. They should be released at some point in time tonight. You might hear some things tomorrow. Hopefully, you get good news. Nothing, we don't have concrete news on that yet. But hopefully, DFAC, hopefully, we saw some better news in the DFAC numbers, and that would also help us probably from a statewide aspect as well. So, the other thing we refer people to do through the community, as well as to obviously recommend everybody do it here as well, just pay attention to the listed newspaper, what's on the internet, those type of things, regarding some of these key discussions statewide. About how they're trying right now balance the statewide budget. So they have a very difficult task statewide, and we're waiting for the information. When we have that information, we'll be ready to come out with that information as far as the tax perspective that kind of corresponds with the information we get from the statewide perspective and what we'll be doing here and projecting throughout. So any questions regarding that? Thank you.
So we will now move on to personnel.
Good evening. So attachment 4, we have some recommendations for employment. Four of those. We have some resignations. Four of those. A retirement. FMLA request. A couple of transfers just for different month assignments. One from 11 to 10 and then one from 10 to 12. For two of our current employees, and then we have some recommendation for employment for summer school, contingent upon funding and enrollment, and all those recommendations are IDEA funded, special education.
Any questions or comments, Dr. Walmsley, regarding the personnel report? If not, then I need a motion to accept the personnel report as written. I have a motion for Mrs. Denny. I need a second. I have a second for Mr. Schaffhouse. All those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved.
Okay. So last month we brought to you a discrimination board policy 41-4101 as a first read. Really, the changes there are just to stay current with federal language, so to speak. So we are seeking approval to make sure we're in compliance with state and federal language there for policy 41-01. Okay, then the final thing tonight, again, last month we brought to you as a first read salary schedules for substitutes board policy 4308. And of course, in the budgetary times that we have, we used to have in the old policy, or the current policy, I should say, substitute teachers who served 10 consecutive days got 1.5 times their class rate. Teachers as well as paraprofessionals received that. And just to be as fiscally conservative as possible as a district, our recommendation is to no longer provide that type of funding. Again, try to save some money for the district moving forward. Yes, we did.
There was some questions about the fiscal
expense.
So,
yeah, last change to it was December of 16. So we're coming back here 6 months.
So, my question is, do other districts do this policy as we have before, or are we kind of unique in that situation?
We were kind of unique with the idea being that once the substitute took on the role for 10 days, they were really kind of taking on the everyday role in terms of planning and evaluation of students, those kinds of things. So we're not unique. Some districts do it. Some do what we're proposing tonight, the flat rate, and then a lot of them across the state go through Kelly Services, which is an outside agency, and they set the pay rate and those different things, Kelly. So.
And do you think we're going to have any issues with long-term subs because of this?
Hopefully not. I mean, that's that's kind of the risk we take. I guess we could bring it back, right?
Okay, any other questions from the board to Dr. Longsley regarding this? If not, then I need a motion to accept a substitute salary schedule for policy 4308. Motion by Mr. Shellhouse to accept it. I need a second. I have a second for Mr. Rust. All those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? So moved.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now move on to instruction and student programs. So we'll have Dr. Jason Peel, Director of Secondary Education.
I have no report tonight.
That's what we like to hear from.
He did a lot of
speaking. That's
talked enough
share.
This year. Yeah. It's the summer, we're hard at work, and things are going well.
Okay, thank you. How about Dr. Bridget Amory, Director of Elementary Education?
Nothing to report this evening.
Okay. And of course, last but not least, Dr. Mark Mangus for the Director of Special Education.
Nothing other than preparing to start providing summer programming for 12-month entitlement students on Monday.
Okay, very good. Okay, so then we will move on to business, and we know that Mrs. Croce has something.
Always. I have for you this evening the monthly revenue and expenditure reports for the month ending May 31st. We are in the process of year-end closeout right now, which ends on June 30th, so I'll have those reports for you next month. But currently, on the revenue side, we're just awaiting a final transfer of formula salary funds. That's our Division I salary funds from the state. So that number will increase, but otherwise, we're up to almost 100% in most categories, 100% overall of state funding. On the local fund side, for debt service, tuition, and the minor cap match tax, we're still hovering around 98%. That's increased just slightly with our collections for May and June. So we'll report those at the next board meeting. Current expense, just over 100% collected, and that's due to the delinquent taxes. They put those in the current expense category if they are collected. So a little bit of collections in that area. And then, of course, federal funds, we're still right around 100% in that area. So over on the expenditure side, once again, we're doing some fiscal year and cleanup stuff. So some of the things you see on this report will be taken care of on next month's report. One example of that is the child nutrition operations. We do a payroll funding adjustment at the end of the year to clean out our cafeteria salary line from the state. So you'll see the local side go back in the black and the clean out of the other side there. So I'll take any questions that you may have, but otherwise I just seek approval for the reports ending May 31st, please.
So on the local funds, some of them are at like 40 or
53 years. Sure. So the reason for that, and I'll just start with the capitation, the current expense, that's kind of an unpredictable amount from year to year because it's collecting capitation tax that was once levied. We don't levy that anymore, and we haven't in years past. So that's kind of a delinquent tax collection mechanism. Okay. So there really isn't a great way to budget for that. We just done $500 as a budget item for years now. Could probably lower that going forward as we, you know, get some of those collections and the amounts that's hanging out there for capitations is lower. The other item is cafeteria. So that is based on our federal reimbursement rate. And if you'll notice, the same amount that we budget as revenue is actually the same amount that we budget as expenditure. So it is a wash there, but it really is based on participation in the program. That kind of dictates the amount of revenue as well as the expenditures that come in and out of that program. So that will fluctuate year to year, but there is more than enough money in the appropriation. That's just how much we budget to bring in and then again to wash it right out with expenditures.
Mm-hmm. Just
just so we're showing all funds that are accounted for. The Social Studies Coalition is actually not a Milford School District program. We are the statewide financial steward for that program. It's a statewide program. We collect funds on their behalf. So I have to budget enough for them to be able to spend that much. They have a significant amount of money in their appropriation. So if they chose to, they could spend up to $250,000. But so again, same thing there. You'll notice it's 250 on the revenue side and also 250 on the expense side. Just a net sum zero, but have to budget enough on the expenditure side in case they decide to spend out all the funds. I think that's the only other one that was kind of a weird percentage.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, I need a motion to accept these reports as written. I need a motion to accept the financial reports as written. Okay, a motion from Mrs. Dennehy, and a second. And a second from Mr. West. All those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, so moved.
So the next item I have for you this evening is the Child Nutrition Wellness Policy. It's Board Policy 3304A. We brought this to the board last month for a first read. And just kind of a recap, the Federal Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act in 2004 and then the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 required that all local education agencies participating in a school nutrition association have a wellness policy in place by June 30th of this year. So we had to be fully compliant with that. We brought together a wellness committee. It consisted of nurses, physical education educators, as well as Mrs. Mangus for special education, myself, our registered dietitian, supervisor of child nutrition, Sharon Forrest. So we met as a committee and we put this policy together based on the suggestion of and guidance from the Department of Education. The plan is to have this put in place to meet the federal deadline of June 30th, and then we'd like to kind of see how other school districts, what they come up with as far as ideas for their wellness policies, and then build upon those best practices as we go forward. So we'll be bringing that committee back together, if not this summer, then early this fall, to kind of review and take suggestions again on the policy as written now, and then we'll probably bring suggestions back to you as we build upon that policy. So
this is a new policy.
It is a new policy. We do have a current child nutrition policy that kind of just outlines like the price of our adult meals and things like that. It talks about the CEP program that we're currently still operating under, and this is an extension of that just specifically for wellness and the federal guidelines we have to meet.
Any questions?
How are we planning to engage in physical activity during school for kids who don't need to be in the
program? So there is a requirement.
Students, the first one, to provide students with opportunities to be physically active or during the
Sure. So if you look on page 4, there is a daily recess requirement for elementary schools, and they do have requirements for, you know, outdoor time. There's also a requirement at the secondary level for physical education as part of a regular curriculum. Beyond that, we don't have any additional requirements. We can certainly take suggestions and incorporate them into the policy going forward.
I mean, I know at the elementary school, they get
So that's certainly something we can take into account and talk about as part of the policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have these mandates here that are part of our policy that we're trying to
I need a vote tonight, yeah. Yep, it has to be in place by June 30th.
Yep. So
I need to have a motion to accept the Child Nutrition Program Policy 3304A as written.
Mrs. Dennehy, if you want to be notified when the next committee meeting is, I'd be happy to let you know. And you could. Okay.
So I need a motion. I'll make a motion to accept the policy. Motion from Mrs. Dennehy. I need a second. From Mr. Shadhouse, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? So moved.
Thank you. Okay. The last item I have for you this evening is just a brief update. We are obviously a part of the school district authorized tax rate agreed upon procedures engagement. This is an audit done by the State of Delaware Auditor's Office, and it was issued in early May for two fiscal years. They combined 2015 and 2016 into one report. They were running just a little behind. But this engagement looks at all four components of all the school district's tax rates and provides an opinion on whether or not they set them according to the appropriate procedures. So I just want to point out that Milford had all four components in compliance. There is a note on page 6 of the report under procedure 9 regarding match taxes, and we are listed under number 3. It does say that according to the fiscal year 2015 bond bill, we were authorized to collect $208,674, and we collected $12,290 more than the approved total. But I do want to point out that underneath of that, we accounted for delinquencies, which is permissible under Delaware code, to collect up to 10% for delinquent taxes. As we talked about in the revenue report just now, we are currently at 98% collected. In this particular area, it is extremely important that we collect 100% of our revenue, because I cannot get the state funds without the full 40% for our local match. So that's the reason. And I will point out that if you look on the same page under tuition procedure number 8, it does say sufficient to collect tuition costs plus 10% for delinquencies. And it cites that code reference once again. And I pointed out to the auditor's office that it should have been written the same way for procedure number 9, that there is an allowable 10% delinquency clause in Delaware code for match taxes under minor capital improvements. So they did write it as a note, but they did include our note about the delinquent tax collections there as well. We were found in compliance with every other tax rate category, and there were no additional notes noting Milford School District in any way throughout the rest of the report. So I provided you with a copy to read. It is also posted on the auditor's office website, which we have a link to on our website to get to all those reports.
This can be posted also to our agenda here on the office.
So we
passed the phone.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
So if you collect your delinquent taxes,
yes,
they can put you over your amount and you can get cited for that, as long as you...
Right. So really the issue was the way that they wrote the procedures of the audit engagement, and they should have cited in their procedure that they would be looking for not only the amount that they were authorized to collect, but 10% additional for delinquencies. Had the procedure been written that way, we would have not had an exception or a note at all in the report. So we wouldn't have been noted at all. But
well, we're glad that we are getting some of these delinquents. Okay, so that's good. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Now, we will then move on to transportation.
About a month ago, we met with the all of our contractors and.
Mr. Waters, would you mind coming up closer and come sit up front?
Just so we can hear up here. Would you like to come up here?
About a month ago, we met with the contractors and started our process for our field trips. And we have the bid packet completed. I believe you have a copy of it. Just if there's any questions, and we need to give the proof. It was just a hair more, didn't go up a lot. We had some packets went down, some trips went down, some trips went up, and so it stayed around the same for last week.
So this is an action item for tonight?
Yes, I believe it.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
I see in here some bids, I guess you total all the trips, for example, middle school football, the trips are totally in your total.
Right.
The little bid wins.
Right.
What happens when they're the same? Because there are a few in there that are the same.
When they're the same, we do either a draw with ping pong balls, or we do a coin flip.
Right.
On everything, we are tied. We fix all those ties.
And some of these, I know that it's a free market out there, and they're allowed to do whatever they do. But what concerns me a little bit is that in some occasions, you only may have two bidders, and in one occasion, you only have one.
Yeah. Especially our out-of-state trips, because we only have two contractors.
Well, you have DICC sort of.
Yeah, DOTs, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I got that.
Right.
Some of the bus contractors are not ICC certified.
Right.
Okay. The other thing I can't understand sometimes is that what's the difference between taking some kids on a field trip to, say, Delmar, taking a football team to Delmar?
You take a football team, you take a lot more equipment.
Is that the difference of $130 versus $200?
I know when they take the football team, they also take a full of van or a trailer.
Behind the bus?
No, behind a pickup. They usually use a pickup to do that.
Okay, so that on the field trip in state is the contract is doing $130 to take the team the same cost, $225.
Yeah. Do you think it's also
because
of the powers
that are in
the
Yeah, that means something.
That raises another question. Is the layover time included in these prices, or are they?
The layover is included in these prices except for the field trips.
On the last pages, it says how many hours they
were at. I saw that. That's what raised my question, whether the layover time is included in these prices, so that would accommodate extra cost of taking teams that are already
taking. Well, the team price is going to be different, because there's going to be, for instance, I know wrestling best, so you have to get that early to weigh in, the kids have to hydrate, okay.
Right.
There's things that have to be done before the kids can even get on the mat. So the times, each sport, the contractor understands what layover he has with that sport.
So the layover is included in the sports, but not in the field trips.
Not in the field trips.
So any teacher playing the field trip has to come to the layover time, wherever they're going. Head down.
And they're always, most of the time, in addition, if they need a special bus, because we have to have an A to handle the lift or whatever special condition we have, and it holds less kids.
So we can't act on this since it's not listed as an action item. So I'm going to put this on July 10th. Okay.
We're familiar with other districts. Are we in line, or are we on the same page as other districts as far as these prices and good places to different destinations?
I spoke to Mr. Winkleblack about this, because we've been talking about changing up the athletics and doing pricing a little bit differently. And I did ask him, how are the other schools in comparison to us? And he says he loves the way that we're doing this, because the other schools are game to game trying to figure out what contractor they're going to use, where we lock them together, so that helps. They know that contractor's doing that sport.
I understand that part of the organization, but also my question is about economics. Are our trips and their trip prices the same?
He seemed to seem satisfied. I didn't ask him specifically.
But you guys in the transportation department have not made that report to other transportation.
I've looked at a few in Woodbridge and Lake Forest, and they seem comparable. The only thing is, Lake Forest I believe it's Lake Forest uses one contractor to do everything. So it seems like that they're getting a good deal at the beginning of the year. And by the time we move it up, because it's just a, yours is a 100% monopoly. One contractor does everything.
Which makes it very tough as far as services for all the teams.
Yeah.
And as I will say this, as far as other districts, the seats of different teams operating for the districts, we do have a bus of things showing up for our trips, whether it's the elementary school, whether it's for field trips, or whether it's something in the evening for athletic trips. If you have buses there, I think it's very difficult if you have one or two contractors trying to do all of this. Just having personnel as far as drivers and plus the number of buses, which is not an activity that gives me very difficult. So I'm glad we have many contractors helping participate in this. So this is a lot of students, a lot of transportation, and where they work together as a team about it to have.
And I have this year a couple times had to arrange a trip the morning of, like an hour and a half down the road. And it made every time, right, Sean?
Sure did.
Yeah, well, we made it. So our contractors are working with us.
Well, one thing looking through here, the prices where we had a couple things go up really didn't go up a lot, as far as from the year to year perspective. So you see $5 here, $10, might see $20. But overall, I didn't see a lot of inflation from last year to this year as far as what we saw in the
business. Now that was true, but also the same token, I saw a couple of things here. We had a couple of spring trips going to the same place, but a little different than in the fall.
Right.
Going to be exactly the same spot, by 10, 20, 25.
It could be the layover time. I'm not sure which one.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah, every sport has a different time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And probably football and wrestling are longest.
Thank you.
Appreciate you putting this report together, both of you. Like I said, I look forward to bringing it back here next quarter. Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the
Department of
Transportation technology, Mr. Scott Bailey.
Good evening. Just an update, we're on our summer schedule right now. We started going around and taking all the desktops and laptops out of the school, blowing them out with an air compressor, putting them back. Right now we have Central Academy, we haven't started yet. Morris, we haven't started. We have about 30, 45 minutes of Miss Billion and we're done. All the other schools are finished, so we're doing pretty good.
Very good, thank you. Okay, so we know that our next board meeting is going to be held at Moffitt Central Academy. Okay, at 7 o'clock on July 10th. That will be also our new organizational meeting.
Yeah, we do expect to have a workshop prior to that, probably within that first week of July. Just to go to the updated information about the budget. We do have to go in the morning at 8 a.m. at workshop, so we can see the public. We would give information as far as statewide budget that may influence anything we talk about in the checks. So we have some background knowledge of that one. Mm-hmm.
And that would be on our website so that community will know if anyone does want to attend that workshop.
Yes, the goal of the agenda would be really just to discuss and present to you any type of finality in the statewide budget and what that impacts that has to us as far as going forward.
All right, if there is no other business to be conducted, I need a motion to adjourn.
I'm adjourn.
Now, a motion by Mr. Prime to adjourn. Mr. Russ, would you like to second it?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Russ. We are adjourning at 8:10.